Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Fantasy Football University, FFU, coming at you in week two of the regular season for our big week two preview and start sit show. I am Mr. Bill DeCousas. I'm here with Mr. Tom Lang. Mr. Lang, how you doing, sir?
Oh, you know how good I'm doing.
Oh, that bad, huh?
Oh, it's a great day. Great week.
It is a great week. We got a lot to get to today. A lot of really interesting matchups for week two. I know you and I are hoping for a big bounce back in our league that we've shared with everybody, our high stakes league. And one, apparently some news that we'll cover right beforehand actually affects that. So some news, it was kind of unconfirmed. It was kind of all over the place. So just want to go back to the Eagles running back saga, which now includes Tank Bigsby. So it turns out that Will Shipley didn't just come out of the game for his health. He did come out of the game for his health. It turns out, bad choice of phrase. He has fractured ribs. So I am guessing that the Tank Bigsby trade situation was in relation to all of that. I might have already been considering it, but I mean, obviously now if Saquon goes down with Shipley out, it's going to be some kind of a committee fashion with Tank Bigsby, AJ Dillon. And I'm worried that even if, you know, Will Shipley comes back and he's doing good, like, it's going to take a while for him to establish, like, hey, I'm the backup guy or whatever. So I would be dropping Shipley for a while. Let me wait and see what happens. Yeah, like we've talked all the time, handcuff situation, you never do it with an RBBC. So, you know, good call on that, Mr. Lang, that you've called out a dropping of Will Shipley. It turns out ended up being right for injuries. It also turned out that George Kittle has officially been put on the injured reserve. So, Mr. Lang, now that you've had more time to think about it, can you think of a single other wide receiver in San Francisco you'd like to play other than Ricky Pearsall?
Ricky Pearsall.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah. No. You know, it's, I mean, George Kittle is great, but he's glass, man. You know, it should be like George Glass. You know, I know there's other names for him on other areas, but I'm going to call him now George Glass. All right. Not George Kittle, George Glass.
George Glass.
Yes, George Glass.
He's, oh my God, there was a George Glass in some movie, and
I know. It was, yeah. I remember the movie. I just don't remember the name. Yeah. Oh, it was The Brady Bunch. Yeah, George Glass. The Brady Bunch. The movie. Yeah, dating George Glass.
Okay. speaking of Glass, so the Ken Walker thing. So it looks like it's going to become a trend that it's going to be at the very least 50-50 between Walker and Charbonnet.
Charbonnet oversnapped him. You know, I made it very clear as well too that's right. What's about to happen. You know, yeah. Just coach speak. You know, it's legit. Like Charbonnet. You know, Charbonnet didn't look great, but he did get the valuable touches and. Right. Honestly, I mean, they were also playing against the 49ers, who have a fairly good defense, and he seen pay dirt. I think that they can, you know, capitalize it this week. I think he is going to be a vital opportunity for people to get on board with right now.
A couple different ins and outs and injury situations. Let's just touch upon Drake London. Looks like he's going to be suiting up to play. He's going to be I'm pretty certain that he'll be playing for this week. Darnell Mooney, it's about 50-50. I'm leaning towards the fact that he's not going to be playing, so keep that in mind.
Yeah,
Quinshon Judkins, if he doesn't, he's doing something where he's meeting the NFL, whatever it was. I think it's today or tomorrow, yeah. Whatever it is. But
it's Wednesday, so today.
I'm going to assume, even if he gets through and they clear him for the game, this is going to be the last game where I just completely discount him. So expect another full helping of Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson against Baltimore. So we'll cover that when we talk about them today.
Of Jerome Ford. I mean, come on now.
Well, we'll talk about that today. And one name that it's going to affect us pretty significantly. So Brock Bowers. So it looks like he's going to play. He's played it off, but limited in practice. I mean, it's probably gonna be limited in practice. I only bring this up to you and just to everybody who has Brock Bowers. This is on a Monday night. So if you don't have a pivot, you're gonna be stuck with an empty position on Monday Night Football. So maybe at the very worst,
and it's a 10 o'clock game.
Maybe at the very worst, you have Michael Mayer as an emergency play. He's the backup tight end for Las Vegas. But are you at all concerned about this? Because I'm a little bit.
I don't think so. I think
Because it's
you
worth
know.
waiting for Brock Bowers, you know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth waiting. I think he'll be fine. The more there's really not much information that came out today on it. It was more so on Monday. He without injury update. There hasn't really been anything else outside of that. But he I think he'll be fine. That extra day of rest and it being, an extra day and 3 hours of rest really will help.
Can I say something about some frustration that I have with some beat reporters? So the player and the coaches have kept saying it's a non-issue, it's a non-issue. Well, if it's a non-issue, then why did he come out of the game? Like, I don't understand why that's not followed up on, slash, like, even if their answer would have been, hey,
Well,
he was fine, it was a precautionary thing,
it's a
like.
non-issue because he wasn't needed to be, the 100% vital role of that offense. I mean,
I
they
disagree. It was a close game. I
yeah,
mean,
but you know what? It was also week one. It was also week one. I don't know. I don't think that, even if he was 80%, I still think they would keep him out.
yeah, and I don't know. It's aggravating because they also say things like knee injury, undisclosed knee. Like you could say what it is, whatever it is. Like, I don't
I'm
know.
sure. I'm
I,
sure.
this is this three-dimensional chess
I
that I
will
hate.
say. I
Like.
will. By Thursday, or well, actually, probably Friday. By Friday, we'll know exactly what's happening.
I hope so,
I
especially.
don't think. I don't think it's going to be a game time decision kind of thing. It's also a division rival, and it's their first. It's their first home game of the season. I think he'll be in there if he's 90 or above. And honestly, I think you only need 90% or above of Brock Bowers.
Right, and you play him, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's there. Any other quick news before we jump into our start sits?
Malik Nabers has been held out of practice.
Yeah.
For the head, shoulders, knees, and toes, back. Limited practice today. He was actually limited practice today, but he was held out of practice yesterday. But again, I would just say this. I mean, everybody, we'll talk. We could talk all day long. Every single player that is injured or knee or whatever it is, it's always knee or back or foot. The thing is, you just came off of a football game, your first live football game of the season. I mean, I won't say I can't really say the Giants' offense came off of a football game, because they didn't really do much, but. They still, it came off of a football game. Wan'Dale Robinson has an ankle. He didn't practice on Wednesday, right? But, he's going to play this Sunday. So it's all good, right? I'm not too worried about that. It's week one, one soreness. I'll move on from that.
Okay. I agree. I would say, and we'll talk about that game today. Like if Malik is out, then even you can't deny the Cowboys defense. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that today. Ready to jump in? All right, all right. Week two start sits. We'll go through like we do everything. We'll go through every game. We'll call out the lines. We always cover the lines as presented by FanDuel. So let's start it right. Let's get it right going here. So Thursday night football, we've got the Washington Commanders at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay are the favorites, -3.5 points. The over under there is 48.5 points. A lot of points on Thursday night football. So on the Washington side, you're playing Jaden Daniels. Like you that we know that. We'll get to the other options. Green Bay side, you're playing Josh Jacobs. And especially after the performance and the other tight ends on the tight ends landscape, you're playing Tucker Kraft. Because basically, honestly, the other pass catchers in Green Bay, it's basically just a crapshoot at this point. So I'd feel nervous about starting other Green Bay wide receivers. That includes Reed, that includes Golden, that includes Dobbs. I'm not really sure what to make of it until it starts to clear itself up, maybe later on in the year. Till then, feel free to start Kraft. Tommy, I mean, should anybody have trepidation about starting Debo or McLaurin?
No, I mean they're gonna have to move the ball somewhere. I mean, if Jaden Daniels, you're starting Jaden Daniels, you're hoping that McLaurin or also Debo are gonna have a day. I mean, I think honestly, Debo proved his value. His late round draft capital, week one against the Giants defense. I think he's gonna continue to do that this week. And I think he again, I think he's a vital role of that offense. And I think McLaurin, it's because of the time that he took out of, the preseason and whatnot, and not having the same chemistry. Maybe, I mean, again, he still has chemistry with the, it's, you know, with Daniels, but I just think that Debo may have a sweet spot now, in that offense. And again, they utilize him as a gadget player as well too. So, I would start Debo all day long, until proven otherwise. I think he still's got some spunk. I think he's still got some great flair, and I think, this trade really revived his stock. So, I'm 100% on Debo. I don't know if I'd be 100% on McLaurin. Let me say this: if I had Jaden Reed and I had McLaurin, I'd probably start Reed over McLaurin this week.
Really? Even the crapshoot that is the wide receivers in Green Bay. Okay. I basically considered Debo and to a slightly lesser degree McLaurin as like close to like pretty good starts. I mean, maybe if you really do've got
I
better
mean, in
options,
Green
you
Bay, it's
judge it,
not
but
really a super crapshoot right now. I mean, there are some injuries, there's some IR people and whatnot. So, I mean,
Reed, Golden, and Dobbs. That's three great guys. Like,
I think Reed just continues to do what he did last week.
I mean, I don't know. I can't believe he's performing the way he did on the Jones fracture thing. I mean, we'll have to
You
monitor
only
that.
need 1 foot, really, technically. You know, you're God, luckily, God gave us 2 feet, you know?
Apparently, the running back situation for Washington. I'm actually starting Eckler in one league, and I'm happily doing so. I'm encouraged by like
Good
the
luck
you.
with that one.
No, I'm perfectly encouraged by the usage, and I'm not saying that everybody has to start him. Obviously, we didn't include him in the must starts, and I know a lot of people are going to be kind of excited to play JCM. But to Tommy's point, from we talked about on the waiver show, don't overreact. He had one really long run, and then like he was pretty good. Other than that one run,
Yeah,
Eckler.
I also want to see if Rodriguez is going to be a healthy scratch again. I highly doubt that. So I
Okay.
think that Rodriguez will be in the mix.
I think Eckler's fine if you need him. That's we'll leave it there. And I'm starting him in a league that I kind of went hero running back in. So, let's move on. We've got the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens favorites -11.5 points. The over under there is 45.5 points. That does not leave a lot of points for Cleveland, despite the fact that they're the Joe Flacco led Browns. I mean, I got it. The Ravens are a good defense and they're in Baltimore. So the implied points total there for the Browns is only 17 points. The implied points total for the Ravens is a huge 28 and a half. So start your Ravens defense. Obviously, it's a must start. On the Ravens side, you're also playing Derrick Henry. After that performance and the way things went, you're playing Zay Flowers. And I would say, given the tight end landscape, given that Likely still out, given that they're on the Ravens, and despite last week, you're playing Mark Andrews. You're playing Mark Andrews with that many points. And obviously, you're playing Lamar Jackson. Okay, Cleveland side. Despite the low points, are you interested in playing either Judge Judy or Tillman?
No, I'd be more interested in going tight end in
You
this
still
one.
thinking Njoku is close to a lock?
I'd still go Njoku over Fannin. You can't really look away on the target share that Fannin received, but I still go Njoku, especially against the Ravens. It's gonna be a really tough game. They're going to have to play from behind, unless the Ravens defense steps up. I mean, the Cleveland Browns defense steps up, meaning, Mr. Garrett over there. But I think, I honestly don't think it's a good game for Flowers, but
You
got him.
can't, yeah, at this point, yeah, you gotta. And like we just kind of touched upon earlier, are you trying really hard to not play either Ford or Sampson here?
Well, I'm not touching Ford at all.
Okay.
So, but Samson, I'd probably utilize him because he did show it in the passing game as well
I
too.
feel like you could find better options than that.
Oh
I mean,
yeah, I feel like you can find better options too. But if you're, tossed between, starting, Austin Ekeler or Samson, you go
absolutely.
Samson.
Come on. It's not it. Come on. I know you're being semi-facetious, but just to be clear for our
Come
viewer,
on.
it's not even close. It's not even close. We're talking about it's not even close. I mean, we could use that as a barometer. Like in an emergency, if you need a guy who's going to get some volume, Samson will get some volume, and so will Ford. But Samson's a bit more explosive, as we've seen. But I would try to avoid it, especially. I mean, they got 17 implied points, so yeah, it's not going to be pretty. All right, let's move it on. We've got the Los Angeles Rams at the Tennessee Titans. The Rams are the road favorites there, -5.5 points. The over under there is 42.5 points. Not a lot of points for the Titans, so we've got the Rams as a must start defense. Kyron Williams, you're playing him. Puka Nacua, you're playing him. On the Titan side, we've got no must starts. I guess you could get in Pollard if you want to. It's not going to be pretty against that Rams defense. You probably don't have that many better options. I mean, are you worried about that? Because maybe you got Pollard as like your third running back. I would try to keep him out of your flex spot in this game.
No, I mean, I'd be a little hesitant. If I have a better option, I'm probably not playing Pollard this week. Only player that I'd probably say on this, well, there's two players that I'd say I'd go for the upside is Ridley and Chig. And I think Chig and Ridley have a bounce back week this week.
You think against the Rams?
Yeah, and they don't have the same secondary that they just went against last week. They have a little bit of a weaker secondary, and also
I
The you know it
disagree.
is it is it is in Nashville.
I think Denver's got a better defense, but to suggest the Rams are still going to be good. But okay. I mean, you could take your shot as it is. Devontae Adams. I wasn't so impressed by the situation. I felt like it's not exactly the same Devontae Adams, but do you agree, disagree? Do you try to get him in? I would try not to, but what do you think?
I think it was a weird game.
That's fine. Yeah,
Yeah,
Houston.
I think it was a weird game, and they did lean on the run a little bit more, and the defense did step up a little bit better than we expected as well too. So I think that I go Kyron all day, but that's pretty much it.
No tight ends to talk about in Los Angeles. The quarterback situation, now is not the time to get cute with Cam Ward. And we talked about it already with Stafford. I mean, he's always a streaming candidate, but unless he gets those passing touchdowns, which he might not get in a game like this, then stay away. I would say there's definitely better streaming options. We already identified Rodgers and Trevor Lawrence earlier this week. So let's move it on. We've got the
And
Chicago
Daniel Jones.
and the Angels, although I wasn't buying into that, and we'll get to that game shortly. So we've got the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. Detroit are home favorites, -5.5 points. The over under there is 47.5 points. So Detroit, you're playing Gibbs, you're playing St. Brown, and you're playing Laporta, especially with that many implied points in the tight end landscape that we have. On the Bears side, this one's hard for me. I'm pretty sure you have to start DJ Moore, especially where you drafted him, but I want to see it. I want to see it. There's got to be a bounce back from him this game.
Yeah, I mean, he also got hurt at some point in the game, so it kind of took him away
Eh.
from the opportunity. And then Rome Odunze capitalized off of that. But I think that, it's a bounce back week. Also, you got to look at the emotions that are going to be in this game. Ben Johnson's first time back
That's
in
right.
Detroit, playing on the hated Chicago Bears side of the ball. So. Coaching on that side. So I think there's going to be some fireworks in this game. I also think that there's going to be some good, really good defensive plays, but I think the offense should overcome. And honestly, I think the Lions are going to have a nice bounce back.
Okay,
If
and
they
well,
don't,
and hold.
they're in trouble.
Yeah,
And
any.
I would also go Jamison Williams as a dart throw this
That's
week.
fine. Yeah, he's got a.
Obviously, I'm super high still on Jamison Williams. Goff didn't really look too good. So if Goff doesn't look good and Goff doesn't play good, neither do the receivers.
I would say to a lesser degree, you could probably take that shot also on Odunze if you believe. Again, I lean more towards what Tommy said, that Odunze kind of capitalized to some degree on a more, just like it was like the function of the game flow. Or at least I'm trying to convince myself that's what it is, because I have more in like three or four leagues. So I'm hoping that's the case.
Well, you don't think for yourself, you think for everybody.
So the running backs, DeAndre Swift, he's an option if you got him. This is another game I'd be trying not to. Detroit's got a good run defense, and it feels like Chicago. It feels like they've got so many options on the table, and Caleb himself is a great threat to run the ball, as we saw in week one. But again, if you got to get him in there, he's going to be the starting back.
I mean, I will say, I mean, the Bears offense looked very fast coming off the ball.
The
So,
first half, anyway.
yeah, they looked very fast coming off the ball. But Swift looked very fast running into a pile of 300-pound men. So.
Yes, he did. So we can identify both quarterbacks as streaming options here, both Goff and Caleb Williams, especially in a game where the over-under is basically 48 points. I unless you've got better options, and we've got quite a few quarterbacks in the must-start category, but if you don't really have one of those, feel free to take the shot on them. You could do way worse, especially in a game like that. So that's all. That's all. I would say, oh, I'm sorry, we didn't cover quickly the tight ends. In my opinion, Colson Loveland and Cole Kmet are vulturing each other too much at the moment to be able to try to be interested in getting one of them in there. I would personally be
That's,
looking for a little bit more clarity.
yeah, it's a wait and see. I mean, again, I probably said this about 150 times between this show and the last show. It was week one. It was week one, 151. It's week one, right? 152. So, it's a good testament to see what is going to happen, but it's not the end all be all. You go into week three, then that's kind of giving you the writings on the board there. I'm not too worried about that. So.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. So there we go. That was that game. Let's move on. We've got the New York Giants at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are the home favorites there, -5.5 points. The over-under is 44.5 points. Doesn't give a lot of implied points to the Giants. The implied points total there for the Giants is 19.5 points. Now I bring this up because kind of off air slash on air some of the time, Tommy has been taking personal umbrage with the fact of I keep identifying the Cowboys defense as an option because they're playing the Giants offense. And I've been identifying like just play any defense against the Giants offense. But Tommy is adamantly against this. So given that it's the Cowboys and their defense did not look particularly good in general, I left it off as a must start in this particular game. And also the threat of Russell Wilson being benched is also, an opportunity at any point. First of all, if Russell gets benched, is it going to be Dart or Winston?
Well, no, it's Dart.
Not Winston.
No, Dart is the number two. Dart's the next guy up. And Winston last week was inactive.
Okay, so then what is your trepidation about playing the Cowboys defense then?
Well, they don't have the best defensive end in the league.
Okay.
They just traded him away, and then they paid a mediocre corner. So, I don't think they have a good defense.
Okay,
Now,
but
it's not saying that the Giants are going to score
they're playing
21
the worst
points.
offense in football.
I don't think Giants are going to score 21 points, but still, I just don't see. I think it just being a very bland game.
All right. Well, maybe it ends up being like a 21-21 game or 24-21 game. Giants side, you play Malik Nabers and
That's it.
that's basically it. Although I want to point out, like I think you could play Wandale. If it's a PPR league, you could do way worse as a
Yeah,
flex shot.
he's a great flex option.
Yeah, you're not playing any of the running backs, not Tyrone Tracy, not Scattaboo there for the Giants. Nope.
How can you play Scattabo? He had four touches.
And
He had four
well,
touches.
you're not playing Tyrone Tracy then. Okay.
No.
No tight ends, obviously. Please don't play the quarterback. Dallas side. So you're playing CeeDee Lamb. You know that must start. I mean, Javonte Williams, like he got you the two touchdowns in week one and he looked okay. I would say you're probably looking to play him, but
I think this is a come to life.
for the Giants defense a
Yeah, I think
little
this is a
bit.
come to life experience for Javonte Williams this week.
Okay. Well, I'll point out to make you happy. I'll put out two very close to be must start, probably starts. Tight end Jake Ferguson and quarterback Dak Prescott. So
Bounce
again,
back.
in a game where they're home and the implied points total for them is upwards of 25 points, it could be a bounce back game for the both of
Oh
them.
yeah,
So
I could see Dak throwing for three touchdowns easy.
could very well happen. Again, the Giants' strength on their defense is their defensive line, definitely not their secondary. So
No, it's their pretty much front eight, and then also we lost our linebacker. He's out, so there's an injury there too. So.
all right, let's move on to another horrible game. So we've got the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets. I will be at
Not
this game.
horrible.
The
You're
Buffalo
going to this
Bill,
game too?
I'll be at this game too, yes.
Wow, look at you. Just going to games.
Yes, and this will actually be done for a while after this. I'm getting in my misery right at the front of the season. So the Buffalo Bills are the road favorites, -6.5 points. The over under there is 45.5 points. Now, that's not a lot of points. That's 19.5 points for the Jets there, but maybe the Jets figured something out on offense there, so
Yeah.
maybe they could
I
put it
think
together.
I think the Bills score 40 over 45 and a half, and I think the Jets score about 35 and a half.
Maybe they do. Maybe the Bills' defense is not as dominant as in years past. We'll see. On the Bills' side, you're playing James Cook. You are playing Dalton Kincaid. Again, it's like after what he showed, and like the again in the tight end landscape on a team that doesn't have any alpha wide receivers, you're playing Dalton Kincaid and keep it going until he starts failing again, which might happen. And obviously you're playing Josh Allen. On the Jets side, after the performance and after things are, the whole fantasy community could take an L on Breece Hall. We kind of halfway called it during the draft season about he's going into a contract year. And I kept saying, I think the talk about the committee is so overblown. But again, it's week one. Maybe it's we don't need to overreact. But again, as of right now, you're playing Breece Hall. You're playing Garrett Wilson. And that's about it for the Jets. If you want to take some shots, you could take the shot on it, maybe depending on how deep it is, you could take a shot on Mason Taylor, but the whole situation wasn't particularly good in week one. What do you think, Tommy? You'd be willing to take flex shots on both Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir for the Bills?
Yeah, I probably feel honestly this week I feel a little bit better on Keon Coleman than I do Shakir. I do think they're both great values. I potentially can, and this is not going off of last week. It's going off of what happened towards the end of last year and whatnot. I think Keon Coleman really found it this offseason, and the team has faith in him. So I could see him, really fulfilling, an RB, sorry, a wide receiver two slot potentially. And then same thing, with Shakir. Shakir, we've been so super high on. He did come off of an injury, but he bounced back handsomely. So, I really think that he is a great flex option.
Yeah, no, I agree, and it'll be interesting to see if the Bills continue to like they keep that up with the targeting of the wide receivers, but we'll wait and see how that sh
You got to
shakes out.
also put this perspective as well too. They were down by 15, right? They were down by
Yes.
15, and they did have to play some scramble football. So they figured it out. Their players, their key players, made great plays, and that's what built up the value in fantasy.
I would say before we move on, I want to mention keep an eye out again for Justin Fields here. So Justin Fields, who I identified during draft
I
season
would start him.
as being a very good option. I would give it one personally, Tommy. I'd give it one more week. If he does it against the Bills again, then I would say, he's probably in must start category after this,
Yeah.
especially in 4-point touchdown leagues.
No,
Yeah.
100%. I mean, I would totally start him this week.
You would hear.
I think
Okay.
he's a great daily option as well too.
Okay. Let's move it on. We've got the San Francisco 49ers at the New Orleans Saints. San Francisco are the road favorites, -4.5 points. The over under there is 42.5 points. About only 19 points implied for the New Orleans Saints. So start your 49ers defense. On the 49ers side, you're playing CMC. And I don't know after this, I don't know how you sit Ricky Pearsall. You play Ricky Pearsall at this point, especially with Kittle out and everything. On the Saints side, You are playing Alvin Kamara. And honestly, I don't have him in the must-start category because it's probably not the case. But if you picked him up, you're probably playing Juwan Johnson on the Saints side. So I don't see how you don't. Some other options here, I would completely stay away from every single Saints wide receiver. Otherwise, obviously not playing the quarterback. Don't even bother with it. On the San Francisco side, if you in an emergency, if you had to pick up Jake Tungus, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, in lieu of the Kittle injury, you're probably looking to play him if you went and picked him up. But I feel like there probably might be better options for you in this game. And like you said earlier in the day, earlier in the conversation, Tommy, there's not a single other San Francisco wide receiver you'd be willing to play.
No, there's, I mean, it just depends on if Brock Purdy's in, or or if it's gonna be,
Yeah, I didn't see we didn't bring that up at the top. I don't really I didn't see any notifications about it. I don't n n not that it matters with the Purdy situation, but like if it's Mac Jones is serviceable and is good enough, serviceable enough that it doesn't change the way I feel about Pearsall and McCaffrey for the offense as a whole. And again, they're playing the Saints. They're going to win the game. So I would it doesn't exactly change my feeling about it. So keep an eye on the Purdy news as we get on later in the week. Let's move on. This is going to be a difficult game to break down here. So we've got the New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. Somehow the Miami Dolphins are home favorites, -1.5 points. The over under there is 43.5 points. I don't know what to make of this game. I have only one must start in this entire game, and that's Devon Achane. I don't know what to make of it. What's the truth about the Miami Dolphins here, Tommy? Like,
The truth is that they're really bad.
are they, or did they just have a really bad opening game?
Don't know, man. Miami is home. You would hope, because Miami's a team that you want to see be good because they have such great flashy talent, and it's so much fun to watch Tyreek Hill score touchdowns and go like this to people as he's running,
So
and same thing,
it's been a while now.
and then doing the waddle, Mr. Waddle doing the waddle in the end zone. It's been a while, so I would like to see that happening again. Do I think it's going to happen this week? I don't think so. I don't know. But the thing is, if it doesn't happen this week, then it just doesn't happen. Then
Right.
it's over, and that team is going to get dismantled.
I think
So.
if I think if you have Tyreek, to your point, maybe give it a go one more week. You know what I mean? And then if it doesn't work, then man, like then just red alert after this.
Yeah.
By the way, I looked at it just trade rumors and stuff. Tyreek is among the top of candidates looking to be traded
Yeah,
for
but the team is that, there's been people that are inquiring on trades, but the Miami Dolphins are not even interjecting in it, so I don't think.
if they continue to lose games, they just might.
Well, yeah, that's definitely potentially,
I mean,
but
we've heard this before. Oh yeah, we're not entertaining trade, and then they get traded the next day. Like it's like I don't believe any of those things. By the way, if Tyreek gets traded, Waddle immediately gets, shot up the board in terms of value. But again, how much value is there going on while Tua, can't, make whatever throws that he needs to make? So,
I don't know. Maybe he needs to get a nice shot in the head, and then he'll turn it up again.
Yeah, I know. This is your logic for everything. Like, oh, magically somebody gets hit in the head and now he can catch. I mean, this is great fantasy analysis from Tom Lyon. So just as a summation there, if you have Tyreek, you're probably playing him. Give it one more week. Waddle, I mean, they gotta have some kind of a bounce back, depending on where you have him. Maybe it's a flex option. Probably could give it a go. But again, if not, then you gotta just rethink the way you think about Miami. Obviously, you're not playing any of the tight ends. For God's sakes, forget about Waller. He should have been dropped. You're not playing Tua. On the Patriots side, I guess you're probably trying to play Henderson, but I would like continue to try to wait on the running back situation for the Pats.
I would play Henderson this game.
You would?
Yeah, I would play Henderson this game.
Okay. Wide receivers. A lot of Boutte was a big waiver wire pickup this week. Would you look to try to get Diggs in, Boutte in? What do you think?
I'd probably play Diggs this week. This should
Over
be a,
Boutte.
yeah, I think this is a coming out game for Diggs. This is an open game for him. So, Butte, somebody's got to do something, when it comes down to receiving. So, he and that was a good game. They were trying to make a comeback and whatnot, and I think that this is a, a nice kind of let's get back on track game for a seasoned pro.
Okay. I still think also Hunter Henry is a good option. Not the
Yeah,
best,
100%.
but a good
No, he's a
option.
great streaming option.
Right.
Billy
Yeah.
said good option. I believe he's a great streaming option.
Okay.
We said he's a must pickup this week.
Sure. If again, if you need it tight end, I would stay away from both quarterbacks in this game. Let's move it on. We've got the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Cincinnati Bengals. This is gonna be a good game. Cincinnati are the home favorites, -3.5 points. The over under there is a nice 49.5 points. I am going to want to try to get pieces all over this game. So Cincinnati, you're playing Chase Brown, you're playing Ja'Marr Chase, you're playing T. Higgins, you're playing Joe Burrow. By the way, hopefully Tiggin, like we're expecting a bounce back from the entire Cincinnati offense here, and
Yeah,
it's against
that was pretty
Jacksonville.
horrendous.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Jacksonville side. Man, you're playing ETN, rock and roll, man. You're playing him. It's happening. You're playing Brian Thomas. And honestly, it's probably a good shot if you want to take your shot again on Travis Hunter here. Not a must start, but if you want to, it's probably a good enough game to get it in. 50
Yeah,
point
and
over
Trevor
under.
Lawrence. Yeah, and Trevor Lawrence is a nice streaming
And
option.
Trevor Lawrence is a very, very, very nice streaming option. So, also, you and I were like trying to piece together the Brenton Strange situation. I guess if you got him, go for it, right? In a 50-point over/under, rock and roll with him, right?
Yeah, but I do favor some of the other pass catchers on that offense. But again, if you got points for blocking, Brent Strange, you would have got some nice
You're
block.
obsessed with that one block.
That was wild. That was a welcome to football hit.
It was a very good hit. So let's so we basically covered it. It's like a lot in that game, a lot of action in that game, but you know the guys that you're going to be playing.
Yeah.
Let's move it on. We've got the Seattle Seahawks at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are the home favorites there, -3 points. The over under is a small 39.5 points. So you are playing your Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Pittsburgh, we've got Metcalf as a must start, and on the Seattle side, we've got JSN as a must start. I think, listen, we're not going to overreact week one, but if he's going to get 50% target share, we might have to take an L on JSN on our call for him this year. We'll
I don't
wait
think
and
we're
see.
there yet.
You got to remember, our call was like that it was going to be a bad season from Darnold. But if Darnold just throws him the ball every play, then JSN's going to be good. So until further
Playing the
notice,
Steelers defense
we'll see how that goes. That's right.
at the Steelers.
Some of their options here. So Pittsburgh, like we said, Rodgers, great streaming option here. The Seattle defense is pretty good, but it's not like they scare me enough that if you needed to take that shot, you could go for it, especially in 6-point touchdown leagues. Obviously, stay away from Darnold. Running backs. Okay. Tell me, what are you doing with the Seattle backfield? Sitting them both?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good matchup at all. So yeah, I'm not playing any of them. I wouldn't even recommend playing any of them in daily.
Oh, I wanted to tell you something. So who did you just called George Kittle, George
George
Glass.
Glass.
Okay. Do you remember you have to know the video game. You know the video game, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Who's
Yeah.
the first guy that you fight in Mike Tyson's Punch Out?
Kenneth Walker.
Right, but who's the first guy that you fight? Do you know the guy's name?
No.
Glass Joe.
Glass Joe.
That's Kenneth. If George Kittle is George Glass, Kenneth Walker is Glass Joe. That's what we got. So,
Okay.
I agree with you. The both of them have to sit for a game like this. On the Steelers side, man, Arthur Smith is going to make me do circles here. So, Warren's supposed to be the guy. So, what is he doing with Gainwell with half of the snaps? And not Caleb Johnson? Like, what is going on with that?
Yeah, Gainwell had some nice plays last week, and he was on a higher percentage of snaps. They were also in a lot of passing down situations, so that could be it.
That's true.
A
Warren's a great
controlling,
pass catcher, though.
yeah, and but a controlling of the ball situation could be this game where they want to run this clock out. So I don't anticipate Aaron Rodgers to throw four touchdowns again. I anticipate him to maybe throw 1 to 2. And that offense to control the ball on the ground and see what they're made of when it comes down to Warren and Caleb Johnson.
What's our threshold for guys who are primarily pocket passers? We always say a good streaming day for them is 2 touchdowns and 250 yards generally. And so he should be able to hit that.
I mean, Rodgers, what he threw for 244 and four. He's not a 300 yard. He's not a 250
Oh,
plus
he's
yard.
very efficient
Yeah,
with the what
that's
he
the
does.
thing.
I just thought I'd make a mention of the tight ends for Pittsburgh here. So you can't deny what Jono did against the Jets, but it might have just been a function of Sauce locking down Metcalf to some degree and picking on the other guys in the secondary. I'm still kind of hands off. I'll wait and see. But if they continue to feature Jonnu way more than Freiermuth, then it's worth keeping an eye on because we know Arthur Smith loves himself some Jonnu Smith. So keep an eye on it. We'll look for the future. He could be a pickup in the future.
I don't really think it matters what Arthur Smith wants.
He's the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but so is Aaron Rodgers.
Apparently, stay away from Cooper Kupp in this game. Pittsburgh's gonna have a good day, I think. We think. Let's move it on. We've got the Denver Broncos at the Indianapolis Colts. Denver are the road favorites there. This was interesting to me. -2.5 points. The over under there is a small 42.5 points. So Denver's already a great defense, and the implied points total for Indy is only 20 points. We would say you start in the Broncos defense here, which is interesting because we've got some nice shots you could take on the Colts offense here, but
I think you're starting the Colts defense too.
you could very well, but it depends on what you believe about the Broncos offense, and I think they're due for a bit of a bounce back, but
I think they're booty.
a Boutte, he's on the Patriots.
Hey,
So Denver side must
I
start your
mean, sorry, not to cut you off again, but again, going back to the owner, passing in the offseason,
yes.
it's another home game. A lot of emotion still. Narratives play that way too. So I honestly see the Indianapolis Colts going to, starting the season 2-0.
Wanted to ask you this, just not to derail this whole conversation. Did you see this thing that what's the woman's name who took over? His daughter, right? I forget her name.
I don't know.
So his daughter took over, and she actually has headphones on and is listening to the play calling slash everything else going on.
Yeah, she was calling the defense.
I would hope not. She's not calling the defense, but like this is the first I've ever heard of this, and she was asked about it. Like, I just want to just point out, did you follow any of this saga?
No, I
All
mean,
right.
I didn't follow Jim Irsay's daughter doing anything like that.
All right. We'll have to talk off air about it because this is a there's some strong opinions I have about this. Well, we'll leave it there.
What does she think? She's Jerry Jones or something?
I don't know what she thinks, but she's not, I don't know what she thinks. We'll leave it
Maybe
there.
she's learning the game. Maybe she's learning from the professionals.
For the record, I've always, it doesn't matter to me who it is, male, female, alien, doesn't matter. I actually, having played football, if any of my coaches didn't play, I would have a different feeling about them if versus they're coaching me and, calling plays and they never played before. But that's my own opinion.
That is your own opinion.
Anyway, moving on. Denver Bronco on the Denver side, you're playing Courtland Sutton. Just keep rocking and rolling, man. He's great. He really is. On the Indianapolis side, you're playing Jonathan Taylor and you're playing Ty Warren, man. Warren's the number one target on that team. It is what it
Yeah,
is.
Tyler Warren looked great.
He did.
He was force-fed the ball at times. Even when they were up, he was making great plays. Michael Pittman, I feel, is a nice flex play potentially this week.
Interesting. Over downs.
Over downs. I mean, again, I made it very clear. Daniel Jones likes what he likes, so.
Okay. I think I would try to sit both of them personally, but you take of that what you will. I would try to stay away from Evan Ingram. First of all, we don't even know what his injury situation is. Again, we didn't bring that up at the top.
Yeah.
That'll clear itself up. But I didn't think he looked particularly good, personally. But again, you might be forced into it if you have him. But I would try to be looking elsewhere. The running backs for Denver. So. Dobbins is again, he's getting the lion's share of everything at this point in the season. If you have him and he's probably one of the running backs you're looking to get in there, yeah, it's fine if you want to get him in. Not too much upside, but again, if you need that, here's a good question for you. If you had a chance, would you play Dobbins or Eckler?
Based on matchup, I don't like either. But if I was forced to play one of them, I'd probably play J.K. Dobbins.
Really? This
Yeah.
is just a fact to just make me feel bad about playing Eckler. That
No,
no, nothing to do with
just
that.
because, JCM is, leading as that guy.
Disagree with that.
I don't think it is a good, I don't think for both teams it is a good running situation.
Okay. Well, take it that way you will.
I will.
Quarterback situation. I personally think that you avoid Daniel Jones and trying to chase those points. We talked about it when we on the waiver show. I would try to stay away from this personally with that. But on the other side, Tommy and I have a disagreement about this. I think the Broncos are going to be bouncing back, and Nix is going to be good, and he'll get back on the right horse here. I know Tommy doesn't exactly think that. So
I
you.
think Daniel Jones, as everybody in Indiana now calls him, Indiana Jones, because they're bought on the hype. I think he will have come to life situations, but he will have a fairly decent game. He's not going to have the game he had last week. He's going to make some mistakes. He may throw one of those phantom interceptions that just basically he just turns to the left. There's nobody there except for the defender, and the guy runs for a pick six. So, I could see that happening, and then the fan base starts freaking out a little bit, and and whatnot. But I could see him having a decent game. Nothing crazy. He's outside the top 12. I'd probably say he's outside the top 15 this week, just because they, but what might bring him inside or close to the top 12 is his legs. So.
What I would like to see most, other than a bounce back from Bo Nix, is a I want to see some clarity on the Denver number two wide receiver situation. I've had my line in the sand pinned on Marvin Mims. He did not have a good game in
Franklin
week one.
had some decent looks.
Right, but I think it happened. I forget when things happened because Mims had that bad fumble, and if you do that on Peyton's watch, you're immediately in the doghouse. So I hope that Mims has the bounce back, because if not, then it's a complete crapshoot with the Denver number two
I think
situation.
it already is a complete crapshoot.
Maybe I still think.
I think the whole entire season where it's just going to be a crapshoot.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that. So if nothing really else to. Nothing really else to mention there. Let's go to the next game. We've got the Carolina Panthers at the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona are the home favorites, -6.5 points. The over under there is 44.5 points. Not a lot of points for Carolina, but man, I don't understand this from Vegas. I know Carolina didn't look so good with that awful rain delay thing, the lightning delay thing. I think Carolina comes back and like bounces back a little bit here. I'd be scared to play the Arizona defense. Here, even though Vegas is suggesting you could play them, I think Carolina has a bit of a bounce back. Do you agree with that, or?
I think you see them play a little bit better. It's also in a dome situation, so I think that there's, you have clear skies in Arizona on the road. I think, you'll see some good flashes from, the quarterback play over there.
You got a high implied points total for the Cardinals, though. So you're playing James Conner, you're playing Marvin Harrison, you're playing Trey McBride, and you're playing Kyler, especially after that performance. And hopefully he's not sick anymore.
I think Benson it could be a nice little look at as well too.
Could very well be. Could very
Yeah.
well be. Well,
Based on his share percentage, I think that he could be a nice little pop-off run this week.
maybe. Carolina side, the only must start we've got is Chuba Hubbard. If you've got Tet, I got it. You're gonna try to get him in. Maybe you've got some other options, but you don't want to have to feel necessarily forced to do it. So we just wanted to offer that distinction. I would feel confident about playing him if, I guess he was my wide receiver two and I had was stacked at running back. But otherwise, maybe you've got other options. Any tertiary options for Carolina you're looking to play other than Tet? I mean, you're not playing Leggett, you're not playing Sanders, tight end, right?
No, I mean, if Adam Legacy Thielen was still there, I would say that, but he's not
But
there anymore.
he's not there, so we'll move on with that, and stay away from Bryce right now. He's got to lock it back in, show us what he's got. So in a real NFL game.
Yeah, show me what you got, bro.
All right, so big game. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles at the Kansas City Chiefs. Philadelphia are the road favorites, -1.5 points. The over under there is 46.5 points, more points than I thought would be in this game. So you on the Eagle side, you're playing Saquon, you're playing AJ Brown, but let's keep in mind, I'm going to start being a bit worried about AJ Brown if it starts to get consistent that he's not proven it. And you're playing Jalen Hurts. On the Kansas City side, we've only got one must start, man. We've got Travis Kelce. I guess if you picked up Hollywood Brown, you try to get him in there, but you're not obligated to. I
I
mean,
think he's a must start based on
Hollywood, really?
well, again, it's Bollywood. Bollywood.
Bollywood Brown,
Hollywood
okay.
Brown, I think
All right.
that he is a must start this week if Worthy is out, 100% out. If
He's
he's not
definitely
out,
out.
all right. Well, then I put him my flex. I don't think he's a wide receiver too. I think you could play him as a high-end flex this week.
Okay. Devontae Smith, he's always an option. This is one of the games I'd be trying not to play him against
I
the
might
Chiefs
be
defense.
more prone to start Devontae Smith over Brown. Brown also did not look good playing on the field. He looked slow. He did not look like he was back up to speed. So
I agree with you.
I feel better about Devontae Smith being ahead of AJ Brown this week.
I think I want to give him one more week. It's similar to the Tyreek Hill thing. It's like, let's give it one more week here. Let's see it happen in a competitive game. Let's see what happens. Goddard had a nice game last week.
I think Philadelphia is going to smash.
I don't know. I don't know. Goddard here, obviously, he had a nice game. If you got him, I guess you're trying to get him in. Maybe there's other options depending on how your team is, but it's a perfectly good option. You judge it as your options. Like we said on the Kansas City side, if you picked up Hollywood on the waiver wire, you're trying to get him in here. So I don't know. I'd be trying not to play Isaiah Pacheco personally, if it's me. What do you think?
I'm probably not this week.
Okay. Does it make you feel bad to say that?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I love me some Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, I do too. The Rutgers kid. But yeah, maybe this is not going to be it. You really think the Eagles smash them in this game?
I think the Eagles smash them this game.
Okay.
I think the Eagles remind them who their daddy is, especially from the Super Bowl.
Who their daddy is. They beat them in the Super Bowl
They
after the Chiefs won a
They
million
didn't beat
games
them
in a
in the,
row. Like,
they smashed them in the Super Bowl.
I understand. It's like, but this is the Chiefs.
And not only that, but this is in Kansas City.
Yeah,
This would
that's true.
be a royal smash.
I just want to point out, we talked about it a little bit on the waiver show, about like this should be evidence to, again, we're not going to spend too much time on this, but like Mahomes is really great. He's putting it together with not much here.
Yeah, but he can't throw it to himself.
He can't throw it to himself, but he could do all his magician magic to try to will guys
Yeah.
open.
He
But
could throw the ball down the field for a 50-yard phantom flag and get the ball down the field for
we're not having that discussion again, because that is none of n completely the worst narrative ever about the Chiefs and him and the flags. It's not. He's working with very little, very, very little this year.
Well, we got a long season.
We have a long season. We'll see what happens when Rice and Worthy come back. All
I
right.
think when Worthy and Rice come back, I mean when Rice comes back, all bets aside, they might just not lose a game.
We'll see. He's one player, but it's like the wide receiver core
One
real.
very, very big player
They
to their offense.
really could use Tyreek Hill if he were to get traded there. Maybe
Yeah,
they
but
make
then
that
that
move.
could, I mean they don't need that many players. I think they wait.
Look, how many times did we say this? We were texting about Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown is now their number one wide receiver, and he's bad. So, okay.
Bollywood Brown. Okay.
Hollywood Brown. Let's move on. We've got the Atlanta Falcons at the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings are home favorites, -4.5 points. The over under there is 44.5 points. Not too many points for the Falcons, but even if you're teetering on that, like the Vikings, they have a great defense. You're playing the Vikings defense. It is what it is. You're playing Bijan Robinson. You're playing Drake London on the Minnesota side. You're playing Justin Jefferson. You're playing TJ Hawkinson. Other options, man. So London's going to play, so we don't even have to have that discussion. But Ray-Ray McCloud was an option if London wasn't going to play. I guess he's an option if Mooney doesn't. I would be less crazy about it since London's going to play. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Pitts to me was very close to a must start here. I want to see it from him another game in a row before I start putting Kyle Pitts in a must start. in a must start position, but I can't deny what he did in the first game. So put a pin in that. We'll come back to must start territory next week. So he was very close to that. But if you got Pitts, he's definitely a good option. You could go ahead and roll with it. Minnesota side, other options like so the running back situation. So Mason had a good day statistically. Jones had the bigger day fantasy because he had that big catching t receiving touchdown. So what do? You play both of them? You play none of them? If you have one of them, you try to get them in there. What do you
Well,
do?
yeah, I mean, both of them should be finding their way on people's rosters this week. I honestly, this week, I think Mason has a higher leg than Jones this week, to be honest.
Okay. Maybe you're right. Maybe because they're going to be
Mason
whoever.
just looks so much better, so much more powerful. And he did have a higher share of tar he had a higher snap percentage. They're utilizing more in the pass protection as well too.
I thought Jones looked good too. I did.
No, Jones looked good, but again, I think Mason looked better, and I think Mason looked more powerful for what they're specifically looking for. And with a rookie quarterback, I think that's what they need.
Okay.
I
And
don't. I wish I had Mason in every single on every single roster that I own, but he was sniped in every single league. So, this is talking a not talking coach speak here, manager speak here. This is talking, I really think that he's a great player that is going to be in a really, really positive position this year.
Last option, obviously, I'll bring up your Adam Thielen legacy thing. So, like we said, until Addison comes back, we've identified Adam Thielen as a perfectly good flex option for your team. I think it's perfectly fine. He ended up they went to him in the red zone, and he was only there for 3 days. So, I mean, he's gonna. I think it's perfectly good as a flex shot. Again, you judge your options as you have them. I think you could do worse than him.
I mean, I hope you have something better than that. Technically, when draft season was going on, he wasn't even being drafted, so I would assume he might have you should have better opportunities. He
You'd be
was in
surprised.
50, and again, he was in 50%, 50%, 57% of snaps. He only had one target. So,
For a touchdown.
yeah, but again, what is he going to one for one for one and a
But he
touchdown?
was only there for like 2 seconds. So,
I get it. I get it.
just keep it
I
in
get
mind.
it. I get it, but just buyers beware there.
I would stay away from both quarterbacks. Make them prove it over a bit of time here. All right. Let's move it on. We've got the Sunday night game. We've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Houston
No,
Texans.
no. Sunday night game is Atlanta,
Oh,
Minnesota.
I apologize. That's right. This is
Two Monday night
the
games. The
double Monday
7 o'clock
night
is
game.
Tampa Bay, Houston.
You're right. All right. So Monday night one, Tampa Bay at Houston. Houston are the home favorites, -2.5 points, only a 42.5 over under. A lot of respect to the Houston defense here, which I didn't expect. I was really surprised by this game because I would be taking the Bucks to win the game and I would be taking the over. But maybe they know something I don't know. Maybe they think Houston's defense is a lot better than what it is.
I'd take the
So,
Bucks all day long here. I'm starting Baker all day long.
we've got the Bucks side. You're starting Bucky Irving. You're starting Mike Evans, and you're starting Baker Mayfield. And honestly, after Ibuka's performance, I don't know how you sit him. I'm only worried about the Vegas line. It's just like maybe we're missing something there, but leave it as it is. If you got
Have to
Ibuka,
play Ibuka.
if you got him, I guess you're probably trying to get him in. You're right. On the Houston side, one must start, Nico Collins. not a single other player on that team I'd be comfortable with starting. None. Let's just quickly touch upon the running back situation. If you got Chubb, he's a decent enough option for you. I'm horrendously scared about that offensive line. I don't think that they're, I think they're, they might even be the worst in football at this point, maybe worse than the Seahawks or the Bengals after watching what I watched against the Rams. But you could do worse than Chubb if you've got him. On the in terms of tertiary options on the Buccaneers, we already said it, stay away from Cade Otton for the time being. But if you wanted to, you could take a shot on, like, put it this way, While Bucky Irving is the main starter, I'm completely avoiding the running back two situation. If Bucky Irving were to go down, we already said that we think Sean Tucker becomes the biggest beneficiary and not as much Rashad White. However,
What was that?
with Bucky Irving in there, Rashad White is still like the change of pace, catches a couple passes kind of guy. I just thought I'd bring it up because he's still the darling of the fantasy community online. All right, do you think they're overplaying the Rashad White thing?
Little bit.
Yeah, I basically got the same feeling from it.
Tucker's very good.
He is very good. Yes, he is. I thought I'd mention a special mention of Jaden Higgins too on the Houston side. So with Kirk's still injury, Higgins didn't have that good of a game week one against the Rams. I'm going to continue to
Well,
watch.
neither did Nico.
Neither did anybody, right? I'm going to continue to watch Higgins pretty closely. I want to see an ascension. I want to see him, take off in that offense, but they have to do something. Their O-line has to hold up for like 3 seconds for Stroud to do anything. So,
Yeah, I mean it was a lot of pressure on Stroud. So it was a tough game. You can't really get the ball off if you're not able to manage your offensive lineman.
you're right. Keep an eye. Obviously, he's not playing in this game, but keep an eye for the future on Chris Godwin. At this point, I don't know how Ibuka gets messed up with his like production slash his usage or whatever, but Godwin will come in and will throw a monkey wrench into that wide receiver situation at some point, but not yet, not yet. So we'll get to that later on in the season. Let's go to Monday night two. We've got the Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chargers are road favorites there, -3 points. The over under is 46.5 points. Chargers side. I know it wasn't the best, but in a game like this where they have a pretty decent implied points total, you're playing O'Marrion Hampton. Give it another go. Let's see it happen. You're playing Ladidi MeConkey, Ladd McConkey, and you're playing Justin Herbert in a game like this after his performance and after in a game like this, give it roll him back. Let's go. Justin Herbert, this could be an ascension for him if they're gonna use his legs more too, especially. On the Vegas side, you're starting Ashton Jeanty again. And you're starting Brock Bowers if he plays. Okay. We'll re-mention what we're going to do for that situation just in a moment. Tertiary options. I think if you got Keenan Allen, you try to get him in there, right? And if you picked up Quentin Johnston, I guess he's a good flex option, right? Are you trying to get both of them in, mostly Keenan Allen? What do you think?
I think it's mostly Keenan Allen.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Keenan Allen has a better perspective with that offense to retain targets. Quentin Johnson, he's not getting two touchdowns again this week.
You want to wait and see a little bit more on Quentin?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a nice pickup ad. Don't get me
Sure.
wrong, but I wouldn't feel 100% comfortable in just throwing him in, throw him in there and sit and you have to see. You have to see again, unless you don't have really many options. But if you do have some options, go with those other options until he does it again.
Want to ask you about the Las Vegas wide receivers. I recognize that Myers is still a trade candidate. However, while Myers is there, he had a good game in week one. But while Myers is there, I still think he's a good flex option every single time that he is on the field. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he
He
is
had
a
a
good.
great week one.
Yeah, I think it's a good flex option.
Okay. I reason I bring that up is like the other guys there, Tucker and Thornton, I don't think are valuable as options until Myers is to get traded, if he gets traded.
I think they both had some decent plays, and they were looked at specifically. So, I also, I mean, JC, which one? Not JCM. Myers, the law firm of Myers and Myers. He gets a lot of short targets that are great for PPR, and he's not really a deep threat kind of guy. He's gonna get a lot. There's not a lot of air yards in his targets. So I do think that he is a really good option to have, and he's a great flex play because of the targets he's going to receive. But again, I just don't see it happening throughout the entire season.
Well, that's fine. I mean, but if you're just trying to get him in for this game, fine.
Yeah, for
Yeah.
this game, it is a tough game though too. The Chargers defense is good.
They are good. And it makes me worried about Geno Smith as a streaming option. That's like we talked about it on the waiver show. I wouldn't consider him either. Yeah, I would avoid the Chargers tight ends, Disley or Conklin. Just not as valuable. It's not where they're going. All right, let's just quickly just double again on the Bauer situation. So, I don't know how we're gonna. We'll probably talk off air a bit more seriously about how we're gonna handle it. But what the message we want to convey to people is Bowers is so good that you really want to try to wait on that, especially given everything he's saying. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and it is quote not a concern. So we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. You should try to wait on it. If he's not available, and you're in a position that you could pick somebody up quickly, you got to remember that who are you going to be able to drop to pick that guy up? Like all the other guys are going to be locked for your team by that point, and it's not like you're going to drop Bowers. So you got to have some sort of a pivot in some way, like that you already had on your team, and you're not going to roster necessarily two tight ends. So my question to you is, from advice that we're going to give to people, how do you handle, do you use like, do you don't even be like, you know what, just roll with it, take the risk? Or do you try to wait right up until 1 p.m. on the Sunday night game, on the Sunday games, try to find somebody on the Chargers or Vegas? Like, how do you handle this?
I honestly pick up Will Dissey.
Not Michael Mayer, Will
Nope.
Dissly.
No.
You pick
No, I'm not handcuffing Brock Bowers with Michael Mayer. No.
you pick
I
up
would
Will
probably take
Dissly.
I take Will Dissey. Even though you just said don't start, don't pick him up, don't play him. I probably if you're in that situation, I'd probably feel more comfortable playing Dissey over.
Okay, for the record, when we had the waiver show, you had a hard time being okay dropping a lot of people.
I did, but if there is a situation coming Sunday and still is unknown, I would have no problem dropping a player for him, and it would be, pretty much if we're looking at our roster, and we'll just talk it right here.
Well, yeah.
When we're talking our roster, we're dropping Dameon Pierce for that tight end.
Well, we have other guys that we've wanted to go make moves on. The other thing is like we've got Mason Taylor, but we wouldn't know if we could start Brock Bowers by the time we'd have to make the decision
Yeah,
on
and
Mason Taylor.
we're not plugging Mason Taylor in that lineup, by
No,
the way.
we're not. And even Mason Taylor was even a drop candidate for us. But you know, it's you and I are gonna have to talk off air. But I would just say to people, you make the determination. If you want to wait on Brock Bowers, if you want to wait on that, you have two options. You either just wait on it and then accept the fact that you're going to have to, in an emergency, if they don't declare it, you put him in.
He's gonna play.
All indications are going towards the fact he's going to play. So I might rather, as opposed to breaking my whole team up to pick up Will Dissly, just roll with it, leave him in, and then if he ends up getting me zero, it's better than 5 points out of Dizzly, but and losing, breaking my team up, dropping somebody that I would have wanted.
Bowers is going to play.
I still think Mayer would be a better pickup than Bowers,
I don't
personally.
think so.
Maybe this will declare itself before the weekend. So let's keep an eye on the news for that. So there we go. That's the waiver. That is the start sits of the week. That is the over-unders. That is the preview of the week. Like we do every week, I'm gonna pick my underdog pick to go and win. And you guys already kind of heard it. I think Tampa Bay wins the game outright. I think it hits the over. Tampa Bay is my pick. And I know that Tommy has always some interesting prop bets and stuff that he likes every
And
single
yeah,
week.
this week I actually didn't do a prop bet. I did a money line pick'em, 4-leg money line pick'em.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so my 4-leg money line pick'em is I basically took the underdog in Indianapolis to beat the Denver Broncos. So that's +104 on FanDuel. Pittsburgh Steelers to beat money line wise the Seattle Seahawks -1, 52. Tampa Bay Buccaneers to win money line +127 126, and then the Los Angeles Chargers to win money line -174, four legs right there +1103 odds. So, put $100 on there, $1,000 and change.
Yeah, it's just easy money. It's
Easy
just
money.
it's just guaranteed is what it
Just
is.
guaranteed.
So guaranteed. So there we go. Can't wait for this. Can't wait for this. The slate of
Oh,
games and
hold on, hold on. Breaking news.
okay.
And it's not breaking news while this video will be dropped, but Brock Purdy, it says he could miss a couple weeks from Kyle Shanahan.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Like I said, that doesn't change my diagnosis for the game this week against the
Nope.
Saints, but.
It's CMC all day long.
But yeah, it's CMC is going to be a workhorse. Yeah,
This could be
we'll
really
change.
bad for CMC, though.
It very well could be. We'll see how they handle that.
Yeah.
So anyway, there we go. So that's our show. We have Sunday Live later on in the week. At some point, I'll be joining Tommy for some of those, but not this weekend. I'll be at the Bills game. But closing thoughts, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, if everybody could just click the link or click subscribe, ring that bell. We truly appreciate it. Share it with your family, friends, your coworkers, your fantasy football league.
Right.
We appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.